All right, it's 6 o'clock. Let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. Stand for the pledge, please. Salute the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Robert, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Father, we thank you for this day and all the blessings you've given to us. We ask you now that you would be with us as we tend to the business of our community. And Lord, we have hope and pray that we all have open minds and open hearts and everything done here tonight will be done to your glory. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, first up, for the approval of the December the 17th, 2024 meeting minutes. So if you have any questions on those, anything that's a big choice. If not, you need a motion. One second.
I'm gonna make a motion that we approve the December 17th, 24 minutes.
All right, do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye. Motion carried, none opposed. Number three will be approval of December 2024 and January 2025 financial statements. Does anyone have any questions on those as well? Leslie, did we have a good lump sum money coming in? Or was that last month?
No.
No, this one.
This month.
It was this one.
January.
On the 516?
Yes.
Business license.
Business license and on the city sales tax.
Yep, so that's a good amount. Sales tax.
The top one.
Any questions? That's what made your total up at 516. Any questions? If not, do we have a motion?
You need one on both of them? Continue or?
No, just together.
I make a motion to accept December 24 and January 25 financial statement.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried, none opposed. All right, number four, we're gonna revisit the tabled item. That'd be the key to entrance of the Magnolia Trail. I have some information on that. Also, Ms. Susie called a previous mayor as well about that.
Worker.
And I did talk to a previous mayor as well. It looks to be that there hasn't been access given to that over there for almost 30 years. So no one's had a key or anything. You know, we're here to make sure we look out for the town and liabilities and stuff like that. So I'm gonna turn that over to Tom again to address that after finding out this information.
Well, we spoke about it. I mean, it's a slippery slope. Anytime you start making an exception, somebody gets a key, has access, you got all the other liability issues that you got anyway. And I just think, in my legal opinion, it would just be unwise to allow, number one, and also keep in mind, like I say, slippery slope. You do it for one, you got taxpayers, constituents out there. Good one's good to everybody. Now we got a four-lane highway out there going through that gated area, and I think it's just dangerous to do that. I think we just don't need to do it.
I did.
I've been done for 30 years, so it's not like anybody's.
I did look also to make sure sometimes they look at, hey, is majority of the property accessed from this side or the other side? And the majority of that property is accessed from the other side from County Road 154. What is actually on this side of the creek, which is Red Mouth, as it runs through there, is 0.17 of an acre. So it's not a large parcel of land or anything. So, you know, I just, like I said, we're here to take care of the town.
And that's something, the convenience of any given individual or individuals ought to be a driving force for us allowing something like that, not on taxpayers' money. And that thing's a hell of a lot.
So with that given, is there any further discussion that we'd like to have on that going forward? I'm at the point, I'm gonna call and talk to the landowner and just let them know what we found out and see if, you know, basically how we can go about it.
Do we need to have a motion to deny access to the key? I'll make a motion to decline giving them the landowner access to the property.
Okay, do we have a second?
Mayor, may I interrupt a minute? Maybe the motion should be to allow any private access to that key so that we just cover not only this landowner, but across the board, if we don't have that kind of access. So,
correct.
Right, again, that motion.
I'll make the motion to not allow any public entity or any public person access to the key to the property.
Okay. And the only thing we have actually for access to the key is the trail has been cleaned up and cut in case someone is hiking on the Magnolia Trail and they get hurt, then of course emergency personnel and stuff will have access to that. So, do we have a second?
Another amendment to make that exception, but yeah.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Which one?
Robert.
All right, all in favor say aye. Motion carries, none opposed. All right, number five is your yearly audit. You have a copy in each folder, and we're thankful again there wasn't any findings. We're doing really well with how we're managing the money of the town, and you see all the improvements and stuff going on, and we have a little money now, and we're thankful for that. And we want to keep it, so.
Go ahead.
Anybody have any questions on the yearly audit? Lastly, we need a motion to approve the yearly audit or anything, or is this just a copy?
I don't think so. I mean, the audit's been done.
Yeah, it's just for records.
It's just for that information.
I don't think we did before, but I can't remember. Okay, so let's just speak for your.
Yeah, just.
Look over.
Zone out there.
All right, let's move on to number six, which will be your Avenue contract renewal. We do this every year. When we come into office, I think that was running on a 4 year, three or four. I've moved it down to a year because it gives me a chance and them less of a chance not to do what they're supposed to be doing because we've had to get on to them a few times. And since we've done that, they've really got better here lately. So, I think we should keep them for another year. And we're going to do, as long as I'm here, hopefully y'all agree that we do a yearly contract with them. So, if nothing more, anybody have any questions about that with Avenue? They do our business license, send out the reminders and everything, and collect money. But Leslie also can collect that money as well.
So. I think from a legal standpoint, it certainly produces a lot less of an issue for us legally in collecting or having to go against some of these businesses when they have to answer the bell every year for what they hadn't done. Because initially when we got started, we didn't even know whether they had contacted some of these people or not because it was such a long, you know, period between contracts and all. So certainly I think it's paid off for us.
Right.
That's a good move.
I like it better. It makes it a little bit easier for me to keep my finger on them on what they're supposed to be doing.
So does the town know that all the businesses as
yes, I can pull a list as they pay or as like I can pull last year's and compare it to this year's, and you know they're good about finding people that we're unaware of, insurance companies, phone, I mean anything.
Any other questions? All right. Do I have a motion?
I have a motion and we keep Avenue as a contract.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
None opposed, motion carries. All right, number seven, the fun part. So we have Ms. Shannon Davis here with us. She's with our extension office. Been talking with her, I don't know.
Just October, I think.
Several years, or a little while anyways. And we finally have come to a point where we can bring something to the table. So I think it's good for our town, moving forward to offer more to our citizens and a better life if we decide on one of these tonight. And I'm gonna let her take the floor and present.
Okay, so everybody on the council, y'all have a packet there in front of you with information. What I'm gonna be discussing with you this evening is included all here, and there's actually more verbiage that I've got in this packet than I'm gonna go over. But this is something that you can take back with you when we're done, and it's gonna give you an opportunity to look more into detail and then to, you know, just kind of have your own thoughts about it. But what we're doing is working with the Extension Office, the Chamber of Commerce, and the Town Council, the City of Rockford, to submit for a Hyundai Montgomery, a local community grant. What this grant is gonna be used for is to expand our park area down here in Rockford beside our children's park. And this first packet that you have explains to you about what I'm about to share with you, so it explains this information. So what we wanna do is to expand our park, and this is gonna be a park that will be open for all ages. It's going to encourage activity, and you'll see as we get going, the topic that we're gonna be using to encourage folks to get out. But we wanna be able to generate also a source of revenue for the town and to expand this into a bigger side that I'm gonna share in just a second. But we've got our town on the first page and just kind of our mission statement there, what we wanna do. The second page in your packet explains the Hyundai grant. And so this is just their screenshot from their page, and where we qualified is this first arrow there that says the promotion of health and fitness. That's where we qualify. And then what we do is we apply on the first of the month, and then we know in 30 days if we get funded. So if we can apply by March 1st, then we will know by the 31st of March if we get the funding. Very easy application. I do have the copy of questions and answers. I've submitted this to Mayor Scott, or sorry, to Mayor White, and if y'all would like to see a copy of those, I can include them. But here's the good stuff. This is the group that we would like to work with. That these are professional golf course designers. We would like to put in a 9-hole golf course back here beside our children's park behind the school board. This golf course, of course, will be installed and designed by this group. So we've been in contact with them, and we understand what we would be responsible for and what they would be responsible for. And that's what this first block will tell you, is what their responsibilities are. So what they're gonna do in terms of the build out, helping us to design, bringing in the staff that will be able to help to do the building. So that's just a little page about them. And then what we're looking at, and this is where the council's input will start to come in. What we wanna think about, this is starting on page 4 of your packet. We wanna look at the type of, kind of the design that we wanna have. So we wanna have something with more of a sloping area with a water element. Do we wanna have it flat? That design kind of a concept, we can go back and forth, you know, a little bit to see how we wanna do those. But pretty much a standard kind of a flat area, we could do some sloping hills. I think a water element might be nice, but it depends on the access, you know, that we have, you know, for the property. So I'm just gonna kind of move quickly through this so we don't take up too much time, but the next page, on page 5 and on page 6, will tell you a little bit more about the concept that I was thinking about. In terms of our design, especially on page 6, I'm thinking in terms of more of a rock garden and evergreen trees, evergreen shrubs. This way the land is easier to maintain. The rocks keep out the weeds. It gives it an element of a natural garden. And then the evergreens don't drop their leaves. They don't have to be pruned. They're very easy to maintain once they get going. If we want to incorporate some edible, like some fruit trees, we can have a little area that we've got some edible fruit trees so that people can have some fruits, you know, as they mature and that kind of stuff. But this would give you an idea of what a mature rock garden in this type of capacity could look like, you know, when it grows out. So as you keep going, there's other options. And what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna ask y'all to go over to page 11, page 12. page 12 in the packet is going to start to talk about the options that I need the board to consider here, and this is where we get into this other information. So what we can look at is, first of all, if we just do a general build out, so if we just have a golf park build out with a small golf shop, Alabama Steel, and this is on the pages before this, Alabama Steel will come out and deliver and install the building. So whatever we want inside that building, we give them that plan, they give us a quote, they come out and they take care of it. So we don't have to worry about the build outs, you know, from our capacity. But just with the golf park and the small little shop, like a little rental shop for your clubs or your balls, that's going to be coming in about $402,000. Now, there's a couple other elements that I've added into this. These costs, I've kind of went on the high side. But if we look at like the land prep, there's some things that we would have to do for the designers, meaning get a land survey. Those are outlined in this packet as well too. But some of these parts on here, like the rental, the Alabama Steel, estimated about $45,000 if we just went with just the little golf shop, just a little rental shop and an office. Landscaping, that cost would vary, but we definitely would want to be adding some landscaping. That would be our evergreens. The security fences, the fencing, the park benches, and then the metal shade top. There's some pictures in this packet that give you some visual ideas of what these can look like, but this option would include all of those parts that you see here. The option that I am really wanting to talk to y'all about tonight is number 3. That's going to be on page 14. This is option number 3. Option number 3 is that we go with the golf park, but we have a bigger build out on the little golf park, the little clubhouse. We build that out to include a delicatessen, a butcher shop. So the delicatessen, and let's say that we have like a little food mart in there. So you might have some fresh produce in there. We have sandwiches, we have salads, we have soups out of here. That delicatessen is owned by this town of Rockford. So all profits that come from that delicatessen go back into this town. That can go into maintaining the course. It can also go into providing some other services, and we'll talk about that in a second. The other part of that is that we have a local farmer here. Y'all might know Chuck Bradley. I've been speaking with him. He's a cattleman. He's wanting to have his own butcher shop. A butcher shop added into that delicatessen now becomes a win-win. We help him as a resident of Coosa County to start up his business without having to have the cost of that physical structure, the cost of maintaining the lease. We get that built out, he goes in, he puts in his USC inspected butcher shop. His meats can now go back into the delicatessen. Our local produce suppliers, we have a lady right here beside the town hall that's got a small produce stand there. That produce could very easily be incorporated into that delicatessen, and now we can sell those produce, we could sell fresh cut meats, and then we have a sandwich eatery that's beneficial for the town as well. Now, this is where this comes in, and I'm going to just keep this packet out because there's another option here that we can look at, but this is where this becomes important. The packet that says that has the Coosa County logo at the top. Right now, I'm conducting a survey, a countywide survey across Coosa County, asking residents how they feel about a grocery store chain in our county that is locally owned, locally supplied, locally operated. It comes under what I call a co-op grocery store chain, but we're gonna think about this at a county level model versus being just, you know, individuals. We can have a county chain. Why is this important? This packet explains, these are the words from the residents. These are the participants. Right now I've got 282 participants in this survey. Most of the participants are coming from Rockford. This first graph just gives you the location of where they live. So most residents that are replying are from Rockford, but we do have some other locations here. Goodwater's the next location in terms of how many people have applied. This can give us an idea of where our grocery store can go, but hang on. As we go through this, what we start to look at is why this is important. We can use this grant, this community grant, to springboard us into this concept of our first grocery store chain. This is important because what we're looking at, the next block here, ask the participants, where do they shop the most? People are telling me the Walmart in Alex City, because ask the town where they shop, and the Walmart in Sylacauga, or the Publix. That average at Walmart is about $271 a month. I'm thinking people are spending that about every 2 weeks right now. So if we actually calculated this out, Rockford, just our town, is losing according to the mayor's statistics that he has and USDA statistics, these are lining up almost verbatim. 10,360,136 is the profit loss because we are not supplying our residents in a food desert with food access. And we have the farmers, we have the produce growing right here. This survey is for y'all to see what the constituents are saying. The last pages of this are the comments. There's 152 comments. I asked the people, how does not having food access impact you as a person, as a resident? These are 152 comments as to how not having food access impacts our citizens. So with this golf grant, we can make the decision, do we want to go with using that as our springboard into the next level, which would be a pilot grocery store chain. And this is where your other two packets come in that you have. And I'm not going to go through these intensively, but if we look at the benefits of the eatery, this will take you through a little bit of some statistics that I just talked about, the USDA statistics, the profit loss that we're losing, and how this could actually benefit the town in generating significant revenue. So that's what this packet is. This last one is the one that gives you kind of how we could build this out. So if we have the delicatessen, we have the meat shop that's here with our golf park. The building is built out, so we have a little office for the rentals, then we have another space that's an eatery. That entity is gonna get the foot traffic from the golf course. Those profits go back in to now starting our first grocery store. What I had proposed is something like this with the yellow house that just sold right here next door to us. We have one of our old homes here. Scott has suggested that we look at the old school and turning that into our first grocery store. So what we would do at that grocery store is I'm gonna flip over just a couple pages. What we wanna do is any store that is added into our CUSA food network or our CUSA grocery store network needs to have some value added service. We don't just want it to be just selling the sundries or the groceries. We want it to have some value added service that can also generate a profit or be a free service. If you're a member of this chain, then you've got a free service. So in this store, we might want to have commercial shuckers and peelers, grinders. We can now start selling our own flour and our own meals. We can now start selling our own, you know, if people have produce that they want to shuck, they want to come in and have the peeling service. If you're a member, you get it for free. The other part that we can incorporate that I think is really neat, because we had this when I lived in Europe, was juicers. This can go into your grocery store. So what fruits do we have right here handy? Peach, strawberry, watermelon, muscadine, blueberry. The juicers, you put the whole fruit in there, you put your bottle up, and wham, now you've got fresh juice, no chemicals, nothing added to it, but what Mother Nature put into it. So this is something that's a value-added service, so is the shuckers and the peelers. So if we think about this golf grant, I'm going to swing this back around to the beginning. If we think about our golf grant, we could bump this up to a $450,000 request. That request would give us the golf course build out, it would give us our landscaping, but it would also give us a working kitchen that we can have certified as an eatery, and that we can also extend that to a delicatessen where you can sell the meats and the produce. And those are the options that you have. If we go back over here to this page, to our packet, those are the options that you have. So number three was the golf course with the local town eatery. The other two options that I had was to add in a gaming center. So we would have like your big race car driving machines and your big arcade type machines. The ones I'm looking at are not internet connected, but the problem with the gaming systems is you have to have a very large facility and a lot of games. Because if you think about per hour, if you only have 10 games and people are playing for an hour, you're not gonna be making too much money for the upkeep. So I don't think that initially is a good return on the investment compared to us looking ahead a little bit and installing that eatery, that becomes now run by the town council. So with that, y'all, any questions? I know this is a lot, and this is why I've given you the packets to consider, but I was hoping maybe that we could apply by March 1 through the chamber, and we would know by the 31st if we at least get this initial springboard action going on. So any questions, anybody?
So the funds would be awarded to the extension, the county, or all three?
They would go to the chamber because we have to have a 501c3 or 506 to apply. Mm-hmm. And so the chamber is the entity that could apply for that grant money.
they would be the holders of the money, and then what the town would do is say, hey, you know, we're putting in the golf course. Then they submit the bill and they pay that out. So Kathy and I, we talked about this last year, and they're okay with doing that, with managing that part of it. And then the extension would help with all this other legwork, all the other, you know, the contacting with the builders and getting things organized so that doesn't fall back on the town to have to take care of that.
Another entity in the county wouldn't be able to come in and say, hey, I want a piece of that pie and approach the chamber for...
No, because that is dedicated funds to this project. That would be a grant awarded for this project specifically. And those receipts would have, it'd have to be received out too, because Auburn has its own type of grant keeping system, so everything has to be to the thing received out.
A robust one.
Yes, it does. Let's just leave that with that.
So can we start with the grocery co-op first? And then go make
Yes. What we might want to do is just think about the eatery, just making the eatery part of that park grant. So that initial $450 that we're going to apply for, that would include the golf course with a little pro shop where you can do your rentals and then a small eatery inside there. We want that eatery because that's going to start generating our profits to then go into rehabbing our school into a full-fledged grocery store. And inside that packet, y'all, I do have a list of sundries that I listed out. So just to give you an example of things that could be included in these grocery stores, that's on page 7 of the colorful packet. So there is a list of sundries that we can include. There's more in here, but this is just to get you started. That initial part would really just be to build out and then have that facility. Either we do it small or we build that out just a little bit more and incorporate the food side to it. And then, like, if you had a butcher shop in there, the person that has the butcher shop, that would be their entity. So they would be responsible for the USDA inspection. What they would do, instead of paying a rental back to use that space, we would do a profit sharing. So at the end of the year, we have a set amount. So they pay back into that eatery overall. And then those monies get reinvested back into starting up the grocery store chain.
Does Mr. Bradley already have the USDA?
He's working on that. We've been talking. We are actually, as of this weekend, we've just had another conversation about this, and he is interested, but it doesn't, he's just one that I've been talking to, okay, that I know was interested specifically in a butcher shop. And that would go again.
So he don't do that already?
Would we need to open the process to almost like a bidding process in case there's other cattlemen out there?
Yes, and that's where I would say that's why that was an example. Okay. But whoever's in there, that definitely their meats, and the reason why they do that kind of a deal is that their meats go back into the eatery. So these fresh meats that we have locally grown, our vegetables locally grown, those are going back in to supply the eatery. And we have entities like the school just got a $20,000 grant for their greenhouse. I can work with the school can apply to this same Hyundai grant. We could build out that greenhouse area, and now we're cutting down our food chain, our supply costs. We're cutting that down because those vegetables can go back into that eatery. The extension's getting a beehive. We'll have honey that we can donate back into the system. So there's, I'm sure, some entities like that we could work with, build them up, and then now we've really got our own supply chain, and we can help to bring those food costs down below what people are sending at Walmart and these national grocery stores.
Well, I want to hear from the lawyer.
I do too.
Well, I'm just curious, what is the population base that you're basing a lot of these numbers on? What they can make and all that kind of stuff. Population base, it can't be just of this town, it's got to be what?
One of them is USDA statistic from 2015, looking at grocery store chains in rural counties and rural towns. And then the other is a mayor's guide to basically lost revenue. So those the data that Mayor Scott has is from 2016, and that's where that $10 million came in. That's how much the county is losing in food and drink revenue. So that is a bigger entity that came up with those statistics.
The county is losing.
Yes.
Okay. But your population base that you're basing this on is Rockford,
and
I'm assuming you're thinking you're going to drag people up from Goodwater and all that kind of stuff to use these?
Well, initially this would be the pilot store, but initially we want to have a chain. So what we would do is use that grocery store. If we did the grocery store, that store would be a pilot here in Rockford. Those profits would then go into a CUSA Food Network chain, and then we could develop a store in Goodwater. We want to have multiple stores around the county so that people don't have to drive so far, but we kind of want to use one store to help to build up another store.
And I get that. Maybe I didn't do a good job of questioning. My question is, you're using the population of Rockford as the support basis for creating this money and possibilities, and you're thinking that we can get that out of Rockford, Alabama?
No, I wouldn't say necessarily all of Rockford. It would definitely have to be a countywide initiative, and that's why I think the survey comes in to kind of help us to gauge if people would be in support of a local grocery store chain, because you're right, we do need to have a bigger base of income, spendable income coming in,
right,
to help to build that up. And that's why I put in the survey, so that way we could gauge, do we have county support across all of our residents that could help, you know, because technically, we don't want to have to drive that far to our grocery store. It'd be nice if we had one right there, a good one, or whatever. But that may not be the case starting out. Just like we do right now, we don't have that access at all. So maybe if we start building one, they will come. That's a hope and a prayer. And I know in legal terms, that is not, you can't bank on that. But you have to start, kind of have to start somewhere, you know, with that one. But I'm thinking that if we at least have a good, to me, Rockford is a good pilot spot because it is centrally located, and then we've got through traffic coming with 22. So when people's kind of out of town start realizing, oh, there's an eatery, you know, a nice little place to have lunch, they might start supporting that as well, too.
Okay, let me just ask this. We have eateries here.
Yes, sir.
Triple R, we have eateries here. I'm just curious if, and I don't know, I've never talked to the Triple R people, I've never talked to the people on the Mexican restaurant here, to find out where their support comes from and how often it comes.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're talking about doing is doing something, same number of people we got here, doing Triple R, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And the Mexican restaurant. Now we got a third place here.
Mm-hmm.
And as all that goes, we're expecting the support out of Rockford to support all of that. And with a hope and a prayer that in turn generates enough money to do something else.
Yes, sir. And that in a nutshell is it. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that I hear constantly, and that my issue here is the same thing, is that there's nothing for families to do. There's nothing for families to do.
Mm-hmm.
If we build this 9-hole golf course, I would wing in a prayer, hope that the families support it, because all you hear is there's nothing. Well, if we provide them something, please, please, please use
and
it.
There is other parts to this that we can include, because there's the sensory and like the PlayStation parts that we can put in. So we don't have to go big with the golfer. I mean, we can tease this out in whichever direction, whatever components we want to add into it. And I think you're bringing up valid points about the how sustainable is that.
Yeah.
And if we take that money and invest it, what are we getting back and how fast? Because sometimes, you know, with the food business, just a new eatery, it could take 2 to 5 years before you start really seeing a profit. But if that's tied to something, and that's why I say that foot traffic coming from the golf course would give us a little bump up, because now we've already got a natural flow of foot traffic coming through that property. If that doesn't really take off and we don't see that eatery going really well, then we know that this is just not the right timing and we don't have to go to that next step. But from what you're saying, what I'm gathering is, do we really have enough clientele to support this? And if we do this, are we gonna fail in it? That's what I'm hearing. And I've taken that into consideration, because that is a big part. And that's why I say we're not trying to build this from scratch with town money. We're using grant money to help us to build that foundation to go forward. If that doesn't work, we haven't really lost anything. We still have a golf course and we still have a really cool park. And then we can leave it at that part. But if it does work out, then that bigger picture, if we see that we want to go that direction, then we need to build out now with that in mind. Maybe we don't install the eatery right off the bat. Maybe we give it time for the golf course part to get started. But at least we know we've got that facility built out with a working kitchen. If we don't put a restaurant, now we've got a really cool meeting space that we could use it for. There's other things that we can incorporate, but I do really see that you've got a valid point with that, and that is something that you've got to take in consideration in the business, you know, the business aspect.
Well, let me point this out. You're very good at what you do, okay? Yeah. I hear you, and you're very good. I just am looking at the other
end. Yes, sir.
And I'm curious, because if we're asked to commit to something by March.
Yeah.
Which is like 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, that's just the grant, yes, that is, and that's just the grant part that to say that, yes, we want to go ahead and expand the park. The food grocery store side and the eatery side is that bigger picture section that I think will take some conversations, and it will take some more input from other officials in different towns, because we want to be able to meet this food desert need that we have. The best way to do that, I'm still mulling on that in my mind, but
what,
I know.
What is the commitment on the grant matching with the town? What are we having?
We don't have to match anything.
Nothing.
No, sir. Okay. It is literally an open-ended. You put in your range, and you can go up to as high as you want to go up into that range. So it's a very simple process, and it's coming right locally. The Montgomery team, the Montgomery Hyundai, they do these. They do every year.
Well, you know, I always say go big, go home. But I mean, why wouldn't we? I mean, you're looking what 500?
About 450.
450. Why wouldn't it be a million?
We would have to justify those costs. We really have to have something in that line item to say we need to spend, you know, $500,000 on this entity to make something else happen. So I was kind of keeping this on the lower end, just so that we can get started. But it is an open-ended grant. So if we said a million, that likelihood, I think we may not be as likely to get that much, because they do these each month, you know, across, you know, the state. Well, we got to be 55 miles, but they do them 12 months out of the year. Right. So for us to say a million, that would probably take away a little bit from somebody else's grant. So we really have to have a dynamic reason.
And I bet Dimes and Donuts, they're going to also look at the population and what all those things that would justify that expense. The same thing I'm asking.
And their grant, it is actually one of the easiest grant questions. It is, tell us what you want it for, what's your goal, how's it going to be spent, and who are you that wants the money? It is, I think, 8 questions on that grant, and it is so simple, very, very simple to do.
I've written a lot of grants, and that's impressive.
Oh, no, it is.
That's really impressive.
Yes, it is. It's Hyundai Montgomery, and it really is.
So if we go in the pot for March or April or whatever month we apply for, do we stay in the pot, or are you in for that month,
you can only apply, each entity can only apply one time of the year.
Okay.
So if you apply in March and you don't get funded, then you would have to wait till next year to reapply.
So it's a lot to take in tonight. So we could wait another month to apply?
Yes, sure
can. I thought you said on the 1st of March.
Well, they do it every month. So you apply on the 1st of each month. So the window is the 1st of each month, and it's a 30-day cycle.
Oh,
so
that's what I was a little nervous about there. Like, we got to do something within 2 weeks.
Oh, no, sir. Yeah. No, sir. We've got some time. I've just been working on this so long, I just had that in my mind just March 1st.
What you're telling me is that we can apply for this money, 450, whatever it is. No blood, no foul. We get it or we don't get it.
Right.
There's no other commitments on the part of behalf of the town to contribute in addition to that. But we've got to be able to use it.
Just the yes, we want to be able to use it, and then of course we need the land. You know, we need that space and the approvals to use that land to do that.
Staff, but,
you know,
there's staff for the golf course and do the maintenance of peace and all that.
And that to me creates jobs. That creates jobs. And then we've got veterans associations. We need volunteers to help us to get it going. We've got ways that we could do that.
So any other questions? Well, if y'all want to, I think it may be better so y'all can actually look through the little packets of things.
Well, I would be like Tom, I'm not saying to throw wet blankets on things, but it's bad for y'all people that still work, that live here. Work in Elixir, the so-called plant, we talk about wherever. They're already there, and I say this from experience because my grandparents had a store here in town. It used to be 2 grocery stores. And when the mill closed down, everybody went to town and went to work, and now they do everything they do. They do it here in town. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go down here and just save the little grocery store. We're going to put fresh produce in it. Mm-hmm. But are you going to have regular groceries in it?
Yes, sir. And that's there's some other flow chart and a little table that you have in your packet that can give you some of the ideas of, like, the sundries, the other things that are not food. Your cleaners, your flowers, your seasonings, whatever. But yes, you can stock out. You know, I'm thinking like a fully stocked grocery store.
I just know people got to stop and still call it and get something. While they're there, they're going to get what they need. They're going to get part of it and come down here.
Right.
And get part of it. Dollar General down here.
Shannon, I also wonder, statistically, and I've heard this said, but I haven't seen the statistics to back it up, that we're becoming a retirement community.
Yes, we are the oldest population still.
So I wonder if that would help support the grocery store end of it, that people aren't driving out, but I totally get what you're saying. That there's a vast part of the population that's not driving to town.
Right.
Because.
They can't, so they have to sit on that transportation, that's why I said a food truck.
Yeah.
All right, I think it'd probably be best to let y'all table it and look at it. So we're gonna make a motion and table it to the next week, to give y'all more time to look through the packets and really study.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Soon as you give it to me after you were through, so whatever.
All in favor, say aye.
Scott, thank you, I got one.
All right, now you speak up. All right, moving forward, next up is, we need to amend some ordinances. We would have had them on last month's meeting, but because of the snow, or the potential, we didn't get any snow. The potential, we canceled the meeting. So what will happen is we have to have a first vote and then a second. The first vote would be just to review the ordinance, and the second would be to vote on it. So, first up would be to amend ordinance ADM 2023-04-01, the mayor and council pay increases. So I need to take a roll call vote on that. So, Robert, yay or nay?
Yeah.
All right.
Yay.
Lynn, Shirley?
Yeah.
Ms. Naisha?
Yeah.
Yeah, Allison. All right. So, got that. So the second vote, basically what it'll be doing, it'll be changing the ordinance. The elected official salaries in the town, the mayor's salary go up to $1,000 per month next term. And then each council member will get $150 per month. So that'll just change that ordinance to make it effective. So we need a vote. We need to take a vote on that as well. So I'm gonna start with Robert again.
Yeah.
All right. Lynn? Shirley?
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Ms. Naisha?
Yeah.
Okay. And Dee Allison?
Yeah.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. Have you voted?
Have I voted? No, sir.
Under 12,000, I think you become part of the council, I think.
I can vote if I want to, but I don't have to. But I mean, it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, it's gotta be a full body that votes on that, and then we'd be better off if you did.
I will. So yeah, I'll vote on it. Yeah, that'll be fine. All right. So that ordinance passed.
Now, can we revisit the first one for that vote?
Yes.
Mayor?
Yes. Everyone was a yay, and I am a yay as well. So I'll trace that on back. All right, moving forward, we'll be next up. We need to have a motion for immediate consideration of ordinance ELE 2025-02-1. And this will we're going up the qualification fee. It's only $25 right now. The mayor's salary is going up, council's going up, so normally you'd raise that up. The highest you can go is $50 on that, so it'll be a $50 qualification fee. So, well, it's just a one-time fee. So, let's start the vote on that. Robert?
Yay.
Lynn? Yeah.
Yay.
Sure. Ms. Naisha?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Andy Alice?
Yay.
And mayor, yeah. All right, so that ordinance will pass.
Did you do
that? Oh, hold on just a minute. Let's back it up. I missed one thing on that matters. On the Rockford Event Center. On that ordinance, that's on that ordinance.
And the place at large?
Right. Yeah, so let's make sure we address that and make sure they stay yay. So basically right now, we don't have districts. So it's at large. We need to decide if we're going to take those at large. I think we should. And then also, currently, the election is held at the Rockford Fire Department. I know last time we had voting, people were confused because during the county elections, they go to the Rockford Event Center. During municipal elections, they go to the Rockford Fire Department. We had people down here trying to vote and stuff. So I think we need to move all elections to the Rockford Event Center. So let's revisit that and revote. Okay, any questions on that?
Didn't we have it here last year?
It's always been a fire session.
I think it makes sense to have it all at the same place.
So people don't get confused. All right, any questions on that? All right, let's go ahead and revote on that. So Robert?
Yay.
Luann?
Yay.
Shirley?
Yay.
Mayor, yay. Ms. Nysen? All right, and Dee Allison? All right, so that one passed. All right, next up will be a motion for immediate consideration of Amendment ELE 2025-0202. This will be the use of electronic vote counting devices. The ordinance we had was the old counting device that the county uses. So we've got with Judge Dean and them and actually have the correct device that will be used for.
Gotta do two votes on all three.
All three, gotta be two votes. It's gotta be one for the introduction of it, and then two, it's gotta be to vote on it.
Okay, so
we're just doing the first round.
Right. So, and that's a little bit on that ordinance. So the first round to visit, Robert?
I am so confused. We vote on this one again.
Yeah.
No, what it is. We haven't voted on this one.
We on the machine.
I got that one in my hand. I got the one we just voted on.
We on the machine.
Do you have the one for the machine?
Yeah.
So we've moved on to the machines.
Right.
I thought we had to do this one twice.
We're gonna come back and do it. Okay. Well, we didn't on the other one. I'm here. Well, we're gonna do all, vote on all three of them in just a minute.
Right.
When you introduce an ordinance and wanna pass it at the same time, you gotta introduce it by four votes, and then you gotta come back and then vote on it.
I thought we did that on the very first one we did.
On the first one until we did it.
Okay, that's what.
Yeah, I'm doing each one.
We went from this one to this one, but didn't do this one.
We're on the last one, and we're fixing to do two votes, okay? So we're on the first one to visit it, okay? All right, so that's on the machines.
The 0202.
Right. All right, so Robert?
Yeah.
Luann? Shirley?
Yay. Mayor?
Yay. Ms. Nysen?
Yay.
Dee Allison, yes. All right. Now, everybody understand what we're voting on, the use of the machine and everything. All right, so now we're moving to the second vote, okay, to adopt the amendment. All right, Robert?
And this is the 0201?
This is the, no, this, we're still, you have to.
Okay, we gonna do this, him gonna go back over.
We already done that.
We already did it twice.
Twice?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've already done that.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you for one of these.
This is confusing.
It's very.
Well, if we would've done it in January, it'd been a lot easier, you know? But, all right. This is to adopt the machines. Robert?
Yay.
Luann?
Yay.
Shirley?
Mayor.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Dee Allison?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so all the amendments passed. So we did them on everyone too.
Okay.
Okay. I've, did she give you one?
We really did.
Yeah, I've got one, yeah. I didn't hear it on the second one.
Yeah.
I'm not sold out.
Yeah, I went to each one. All right. No more snow, please. Madam. All right, now. All right, let's take just a second, because so everybody don't leave. Go on, Leslie, do your thing.
Okay, now that all of the ordinances have been approved, I need for each of you to sign your John Henry's on three ordinances.
Three of them, I can probably put it on two.
They all mean you both can't be here.
And you know, just to say, you know, the timing on this is critical. Because obviously, because we missed January, we're running up against the date of the election.
Right.
And this is the last thing before that, or else some of that stuff stays in place.
Correct.
I know all of this because Susie told me.
Now you know why my face is so red tonight.
Well, I don't think you would keep it up with it.
Oh, Lord.
I don't want any word about that.
Leslie, why didn't you use your stamp on that?
Oh, you don't have to sign it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You have to sign your name.
Oh, I was supposed to sign your name. Well, that's.
Yeah, don't do that.
Treatment.
Yes.
Using good paper too, that costs extra money. I gotta cut you back. We'll talk about pro grant next month. I'll save it for that.
Sometimes the newspaper thinks there's a post office here.
Can we get auction signs? Do they have yay or nay?
Got all of the ordinances signed.
I miss it if you did all these. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So at this time, we need a vote to go in executive session to discuss the good name of an employee. We'll probably be in there maybe 10 minutes tops. So.
I'll make a motion to go into executive session.
Lynn Ann?
Executive session.
Have a second. Robert? All in favor, say it.
Aye.
Motion carried. So at this time, will y'all please step out? Okay, it is 6:58 at this time. We need a. Right, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we need a motion to come out of executive session. All right, have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Next, we need a motion to adjourn. Surely.
Second. Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Yeah.
Thank y'all.
What's the name?